You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by our head of international economics, Joseph Capurso. Joe, good to have you on.
Thanks a lot, Belinda.
Now we're going to talk about something a little bit different to kind of some of our normal chats around the global and Australian economic outlook. We're going to talk about a big event happening on the 3rd of November. And on my accounts, that's 56 days away. Joe, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, tick-tock. The clock is ticking. That's right. The US presidential election, it's a big deal for financial markets and potentially for the world economy. And we certainly found that out 4 years ago when President Trump unexpectedly was elected.
So I guess I want to talk about whether, you know, what is the view at the moment about who is more likely to win. But I think, first of all, it would be really good to give a recap about how the US voting system works. And it's very different to how the voting system works here in Australia. So how is it different to the Australian voting system?
Yeah, that's right. So look, in Australia, the only people that elect the Prime Minister are the parties. Whereas in the US, it's the people that elect the president. And in fact, just to dig a little bit deeper, the president is elected by what is called the state-based electoral college. Now, electoral college votes are allocated to reflect, roughly speaking, population shares. Now, each person in each state votes for their president, and whoever wins the most votes in each state takes all the electoral college votes in that state. So it's very different to the way it works in Australia.
So it's definitely not a popular vote, which is maybe what some people believe. And I think based on that, there was a lot of confusion in the election 4 years ago. I think Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but Donald Trump was elected based on the electoral college vote. And that's very important when we start to think about how the prospects for this US presidential election works, with the two candidates, obviously President Trump looking to get re-elected, and the former Vice President Joe Biden is running for election on the Democrat side. Is the election this year actually closer than generally believed?
Yeah, most definitely. Yes, the national polls show that Vice President Biden is leading President Trump by about 7 percentage points. However, the national vote does not determine who becomes president. The state-based electoral college does. So what it means is, and this is very similar to Australia, in Australia, the people that more or less determine who wins government are the people voting in the marginal seats. In America, we call them swing states. There's about a dozen swing states, and the polls there are showing that it's very close. In fact, for the polls in the swing states, for most of them, it's unclear whether it's going to be Vice President Biden or President Trump is going to win those swing states. So it's actually a lot closer than people think.
And what are some of the important swing states we should be looking at the moment? Have you pinpointed any of them?
There are some perennial important states. Florida, for example, has been very important for determining who becomes president literally for decades. But there are others such as Pennsylvania, and Georgia and Michigan that can swing from one party to the next over the election. So these are the states that I think people really need to be focused on this time around.
Now, obviously, the US has really been at the heart of the COVID-19 outbreak. Is there any view about how COVID will impact the presidential election this year?
So unlike in Australia, voting is voluntary in the US. So the coronavirus may well discourage some people from voting. So if you're in a high-risk group, you may be less likely to vote this time around. Now, the fear of catching the virus may also encourage people to switch how they vote from in-person voting to mail-in voting. Now, that, believe it or not, could have some important implications for election day, particularly the counting of the votes. Now, in the US, counting mail-in voting is a lot more time-consuming than counting in-person voting. In some places in America, you walk into a polling booth, you have a computer screen there, you make your decision, and you leave, and the vote is counted instantly. Whereas mail-in voting, as the name suggests, is you have to open an envelope, you have to check the vote was cast correctly, then you count the vote, and then, of course, there's someone there checking the counting of the vote as well. So mail-in voting takes a lot longer.
So now, there could be some delays to the result of the election as a result.
That's right. And there's also another angle in that, according to surveys, people that are inclined to vote for Vice President Biden are twice as likely than people that are voting for President Trump to vote by mail. So when the voting results start to trickle out, you may find that President Trump is in the lead, but then as the mail-in votes are counted, you may find that Vice President Trump starts to catch up and maybe even take the lead. So you could get changing of who is leading as the votes start to get counted.
Sounds exciting already.
I'm beside myself in waiting for the results.
Oh, 56 more days, Joe. Now, turning to the economy, and what are Vice President Joe Biden's main policies, and how could this impact, I guess, really what will have to be an economic recovery in the US?
That's right. So, look, I'll just focus on the economics here. Mm. So obviously, policy platforms are a lot wider than just economics. Given what we do for a living, we'll focus on the economics. So one of the big features of Vice President Biden's plan is to roll back some of President Trump's tax cuts that took effect in 2018. Now, analysis of his tax plan by the Tax Policy Center suggests a material increase in taxes of around 1% of the size of the economy next year, and around 1.5% of the size of the economy thereafter. Now, those numbers are material. Now, about half of the tax increases come from high-income households, and the other half comes from businesses. Now, with a tax increase in an economy that's already weak, there needs to be offsetting spending increases by the public or the private sectors in the US. Now, given how deep the recession in the US was, we're not hopeful of a lift in private spending. So that leaves the responsibility to increase public spending to speed up the US economic recovery. Now, one thing that Vice President Biden is talking about is increases of spending on infrastructure. Now, infrastructure has the short-term benefit of creating jobs and the long-term benefit of increasing productivity. So there are some benefits there. But we're just a little bit cautious when it comes to infrastructure spending, because we hear this time and time again from politicians all over the world about increasing infrastructure spending. And what we find is that it takes years, not months, let alone weeks, to organise, to finance, to approve high infrastructure spending.
Yeah.
So we're just a little bit cautious on that.
Yeah, I would agree. Turning to President Trump's plans, have we seen anything new come out of the Trump presidency in terms of what we could expect in his second term?
At the moment, President Trump's economic plans are a little vague at the moment. So he said he wants to cut taxes to boost take-home pay and keep jobs in America, but at the moment, we don't have the details on exactly how that will happen. Now, that's more or less what we got 4 years ago, where it took more than a year for us to get the details on the tax cuts and the like. But one thing in common with Vice President Biden is that President Trump does want to increase infrastructure spending, but again, we're unsure exactly how much. One thing that both the President Trump and Vice President Biden will face is in the US system of government, they don't actually have a lot of power on their own to direct government spending. It's the two houses of Congress, which is the House of Representatives and the Senate, that actually largely determine spending and tax decisions. Of course, the president does have a veto in a lot of cases, but they don't decide on their own the size and composition of any fiscal stimulus down the track.
And I guess that's where it becomes really important to think about the different scenarios, the different election scenarios that come into play in November, and really talk about how effective they can be in terms of their policy announcements. Now, you outlined in your research paper three different possible election scenario outcomes. What are those different scenarios that you're currently thinking?
So scenario one is that Vice President Biden wins and becomes president. The Democrats retain their House of Representatives majority and the Republicans retain their majority in the Senate. Now that's called a split Congress. And that a split Congress shows, in fact, we've been living it in the last couple of months, that it can be sometimes very difficult for both the Republicans and the Democrats to compromise to agree on a fiscal stimulus program to support the economic recovery. So that's scenario one. Scenario two is Vice President Biden wins to become president and the Democrats perform better than expected and win in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. Now, in that scenario, the Democrats hold all three layers of government, and so they're much more likely to be able to implement their policy platform of increased taxes and increased government spending. Now, finally, in scenario three, and that is where President Trump unexpectedly retains office. The House of Representatives have a Democrat majority and the Senate retains the Republican majority. In that case, we're basically where we are today. You're not necessarily going to get a lot of radical policy changes coming out of the government.
Well, the anticipation is rife already. We've got 56 more days. Joe, thank you for joining us today.
Not a problem, Belinda. Thank you again.
Now, you can find Joseph Caperso's report on the potential US election scenarios and what it means for economies and markets, which was published on the 7th of September on combankresearch.com.au.